This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. On the show today, we have Capstone's very own John Deering talking about CUSO mergers and acquisitions and why credit unions are using CUSOs as a growth vehicle based on all this activity out there. So check it out. And on today's program, we have Capstone's very own John Deering back on the show. John, how are you, sir?
Good to see you, Mike. Glad to get together with you today and in front of next week's big travel plans.
Exactly. Yeah. GAC is on. We're on the doorstep of that big conference and back in person. So it's going to be a little, dare I say, different this year. So it's going to be interesting. So it's going to be fun to see everybody again. And so getting back at it, I guess. So good. And we're coming to your neck of the woods, too, because you're in that area as well. So dial up some good weather for us, will you?
We're going to try. And certainly last year missed out on good folks from the credit union community coming to town. Very excited to have folks come this way again. So
We are back. All right. Hey, let's talk about the topic at hand here. CUSO merger and acquisition activity out there. So can you give us a quick summary on what this means for us, and then we'll kind of go into how, you know, why credit unions are using CUSOs as a growth vehicle. So let's lay the foundation right here, John, on the CUSO mergers and acquisitions, what's going on there, and then we'll dive into how it affects credit unions.
Sure. It's been around for a long, long time, right? But most people in the credit union community, the first time they hear mergers and acquisitions, they think about credit unions coming together.
Yeah.
This is a completely different angle or segment of the market activity that we play an active role in today. And for the past 18 years, quite frankly, is CUSOs doing merger and acquisition activity. So CUSOs can acquire an independent private company. They can invest in another entrepreneurial organization. They can license technology and access that. They can buddy up with another CUSO, of course, and share resources or invest in another CUSO as well. So there's lots of different ways for a CUSO M&A activity to occur that benefits, you know, the members and the credit union owners of that, either a single owned CUSO or rather wholly owned CUSO or multi owned CUSO.
Yeah. Tons of benefits for sure. So having given all that activity and the ever evolving marketplace, so why are credit unions using CUSOs as a growth vehicle? Because I mean, I'm thinking about it, so I think it's a no-brainer, but I want to get your take on how this happens.
Yeah, no, I think that there are a few main reasons, right? Today, as you said, use the word evolving. I mean, the marketplace is changing more rapidly than ever before,
no doubt.
With technology and faster payments and, you know, digitalization and all of those trends that everybody's talking about out there in the credit union community. So CUSOs are a great way to, one, access human talent that can address maybe a gap that you have in a particular technology or a particular area, because it could be utilized as a, what I call an acqui-hire, right? CUSO could be trying to fill a void on their roadmap for their product development, but not be able to hire six talented folks in that particular area. So how do they do it? One way is to acquire an independent private organization that might have that mind share, mindset, expertise, whatever words you want to use, to help build out their roadmap. Another area that we're seeing quite a bit of activity is organizations utilizing mergers and acquisitions to access new geographies, right? So in this digital world today, folks, for example, take lending, right? They want to be able to lend to anyone at any time of the day. And they're partnering with folks that can do that, that have platforms for it. And CUSOs and credit unions can do it, but CUSOs can invest in organizations that actually have that technology in place that allows them to enter into new market segments, perhaps. For example, we've seen a lot of work with people that are doing point of sale and buy now, pay later is another sub-example, right, where they're teaming with folks that have that. Well, they could have a 5% stake in an independent company that has a fabulous platform to be able to do that, to address one particular We're hearing this phrase of niche segments now. You know, it used to be market segment, then niche. Now it's niche segments, and it's all different areas of lending that people are getting into. Yeah. Yeah. So it helps you get into distribution, technology, humans, a lot of different ways that you can leverage what I classify as QSOs as a vehicle for growth.
Yeah. Yeah. You just stole my thunder on my next question, because I was going to ask you, so how do they use them as a growth vehicle? And you just answered it. So thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're using it in a lot of ways. They could put dollars directly into an independent company and it becomes a QSO, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of folks doing that. Q Mutual Venture Group has been doing it for years. Circle Fired Up and has lots of activity doing it now, right? And bundling and aggregating credit union dollars to be able to do a diversified play into the fintech world. So credit unions can do it on their own, but utilizing QSOs to be able to go out and do some of that activity, if you will, is also fair game.
Yeah, no doubt. And so where do you see the most action in deal making for QSOs today?
Well, the number one answer is certainly the fintech community, right? Mm-hmm. The aforementioned players are playing in, but a lot of credit unions are coming to us to do independent one-off situations as well, as what they're doing with those folks or not doing with those folks.
Yeah.
So the second answer is lending. The third answer is some of the more what I'd classify as traditional QSO categories, and mm-hmm. I'll use two examples, insurance and wealth management, right? And financial advisory is the two areas, wealth management / financial advisory. Right. But insurance, as an example, a lot of credit unions have QSOs that are doing insurance products, and offering that is a great way to drive non-interest income back to the credit unions and provide great ancillary complementary products to their members, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a massive upswing now. Again, this is like the third time consolidation's occurred, but you know, there's a big push now for QSOs to acquire independent insurance agencies to either get access to carriers or access to geographies that they're moving into or access to new members. So those traditional areas are also really having a lot of activity.
No doubt. Well. Yeah, I kind of want to round out our conversation here with any predictions for the rest of the year. I know we're just kind of getting into 2022, but what's your take on what's going to happen the rest of the year based on what's going on?
Well, I think that, you know, it's inevitable that the cost of debt is going to go up at some point, right? Interest rates are going to start to go up, and there's all sorts of prognosticators out there about how many rate hikes there are going to be and what levels the first time, second time, third time.
Yeah.
But you know, nobody's really predicting it's going to go any lower. So the cost of debt is going to go up. And what that does in the acquisition and merger world is the cost of doing deals goes up. So what happens is the opposite side of that trend when we do our valuation work is the cost of capital and the cost of debt is going up. Mm-hmm. So people are strategic investors are going to be willing to pay less because their money that they're putting to work is more expensive. So whereas in 2021, we had all sorts of crazy levels of mergers and acquisitions, in part of it, valuations skyrocketed because of low interest rates and pent-up demand during COVID. There's going to be 2022, there's going to be a ton of deal activity, but toward the back end of the year and into next year, because of this, just the interest rate effect alone, I think the volumes will start to come down a little bit, and valuations will continue to come down as well, which is good for strategic buyers like the QSOs and the credit unions.
Yeah, good point. Anything else to add here? John, I mean, this is a conversation that could go on another 30 minutes easily, but I know you have a job to do, so we want to keep you too long.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think that, you know, again, my number one answer on areas where M&A is occurring is the fintech community. So as far as trends and looking at the crystal ball for this year, absolutely, that's going to continue. There's not a credit union board that we you know, don't. Every board is talking about it. Every suite is talking about it in the credit union community. And more folks are calling us every day to help with that trend and to figure out where they should start hunting and look and prioritize and all of that. Yeah. So that's going to continue. But the QSO vehicle is going to be around for a long, long time. It's continuing to expand, and I'm excited about what it brings to the credit union community and the opportunity for M&A activity as well.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, it's such a great business model, and it's so unique to credit unions, and it's just a great way for the industry to grow and get better and better each day. So good stuff. All right, John. Well, I'm gonna let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Always a great education. So we appreciate your insights, and always look forward to the next chat.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.